I'm reading this morning from the first chapter of Luke, verses 26 through 38. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word of God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Hey, everybody, it's just great to see you all. It's so nice to see so many families that are coming back to church, so many children. It's just been a real joy for me. And maybe it's because it's Advent, but I feel like I'm noticing it even more. A couple things I wanted to say to you. If you haven't turned in your estimate giving card, this is the time to do it. And we've got them out at the welcome desk. You can pick one up, you can fill it out this morning, or you can go online and do it easily there. But this is the time to do it. It's good for you, it's good for your church. Second thing, a young family in the back asked me today, said, "Hey, we'd like our children to know more about the Christmas Eve offering," and they leave before it's discussed. And, you know, it's been my experience in the past, and when our children were young, Karen and I found that they were always really interested in the Christmas Eve offering. So I'm going to make a video this week that's targeted to your children. I want to talk to your kids, and Kelly's going to put it on our distribution list, and we're going to send that out so that you and your family can kind of talk about that. For a lot of children, this is a place where generosity starts. It gives them a chance to think about other people and the needs of others, and I'm going to try to explain some hard things like the Loudoun Abused Women's Shelter in a way that your kids can understand and make sense, but also explain it in such a way that we do that in a pastoral way and in a helpful way. So be aware that that'll be coming to you. Finally, we're going to be doing Christmas Eve services. And just be aware, we're going to do one outside so that if you're at home and you're immunocompromised, you can sit in your car and do that on the radio. Actually, when you come to Journey to Christmas, you'll be using your cell phone and not your radio. But nonetheless, we're going to have ways for everybody to participate. And we're doing all the Christmas Eve services this year so that you can invite your friends. We don't think any of them will be oversubscribed this year. We will always be in a mass. Tell your friends that. We'll use the fellowship hall. We'll be able to spread out as best we can. But I think we're in a safe place to do what we're doing. So unless the news changes on that, we're going to keep you informed. But that's where we are at this time. My favorite three words. So would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you as we think about the unexpected calling that comes into our lives. You bring these callings in moments and times we don't expect. And I pray that we can think about what it was like for Mary and think about how that changed her life and how sometimes you do it in small ways and some in large. But you are coming to us all. Help us think about that this morning in Christ's name. Amen. So about 6 years ago, there was a big social media story that came out about Wanda Dench. Wanda Dench sent a text message to the person she thought was her grandson, and the text said something about coming to Thanksgiving dinner, and that text accidentally went to a man whose name was Jamal Hinton. And that started a remarkable friendship. That was 2016. Jamal was 17 years old, and the text invited him to Thanksgiving, and he wrote back, "Who's this from?" And she said, "Your grandma." And he said, "Grandma, send me a picture." And she sent a picture, and he said, "You are not my grandma." But then he jokingly asked, "Can I still get a plate, though?" Many of you will remember this, I think. And she texted right back, "Of course you can. That's what grandmas do. They feed everyone." And they worked it out. She sent the address, and Jamal showed up for Thanksgiving dinner that year. Now, here's the big question. What do you do the year after? Right? You have a little accident. You have a nice time at Thanksgiving. But what do you do the next year? Well, Wanda texted the next year and said, "Hey, Jamal, are you coming to Thanksgiving?" And then the year after and the year after. And it's been 6 years since. And every year, Hinton goes to Dench's home. And he brings some of his family, and she, of course, has hers. And Wanda Dench confirmed this year in a tweet on November the 14th that the Thanksgiving tradition lived on. And while she was initially embarrassed, I want to read a quote. She said, "I've learned that family is more than blood. It's the people you want to be with." That mistaken text led to an unexpected calling. The unexpected calling sometimes happens in ways we don't even understand, things we didn't intend to do. But the unintended calling in the lives of these two individuals was to sort of build a relationship and get to know each other and sit at a Thanksgiving table. Now think about that for a minute. Thanksgiving is a place of plentitude, but the truth is we think carefully about who we invite to the Thanksgiving table. What do you do the next year and the next year and the next year? The unexpected calling sometimes is an incident, it's a moment in time, but sometimes it changes the long arc of our life. And this year, Wanda's husband had died in the past year. And so there was a blank chair, there was an empty chair at that table, and she and Jamal talked about what it was like to have that meal without her husband there while other family members were. And my point is this, we never know how our lives are going to be enriched by the unexpected calling. The Bible's full of unexpected callings. You remember Moses in the burning bush. You remember Esther, who was asked to save her people from the king of Persia and an unfair ruling. David had to face Goliath. Ruth felt called to take care of her mother-in-law, Naomi, a widowed woman, and eventually went on to be the great-great-great-grandmother as a result of Jesus. Maybe a few more greats in there. I can't really remember. Jesus invited 12 unlikely candidates to follow him and change their lives. Book after book of the Bible, we see how God uses unexpected callings to utilize a person's life or bless a person's life. And the authors of the Bible also highlight the stories of those who heard the calling and did not accept it. The Bible talks about kings and prophets who ignored God's calling and were disobedient to it, or were disobedient to it, and the negative impact that happened to their lives and the people that they were supposed to serve, but didn't serve as a result of ignoring it or being disobedient. And that had impact too. There is a cost of avoiding the unexpected calling in our lives. And there are reasons we don't do it. And here's what I believe. I believe that God is calling you and your life and me and my life as much as God called people in the Bible. I don't think this is a thing that happened years ago that's not happening anymore. I think God has unexpected callings in store for you this week. And I think there may be a significant calling that may come into your life, let's say, in the next year. Some things are incidental. But some things change the very arc and trajectory of your entire life. That's how God works. And that's clear in the scripture. And it's still happening today. There are reasons that we don't accept them. And the reasons that we don't hear and accept God's unexpected calling are always the things that They're the places where we lack solid spiritual practices. So sometimes we don't hear the unexpected calling because, quite frankly, we are simply not listening. We're not praying, we're not making time for prayer, and we're never making time for silence. And listen, friends, your time of silence, some of us don't make time of silence because we think it has to be like in a chapel, you know, maybe the National Cathedral for an hour on a Tuesday. Let me just tell you something, that just doesn't happen for most of us. I mean, if it does, I'm all for it. I spent 3 hours sanding a board yesterday, and it's the most contemplative time I've had in the past week. So what I want you to think about is, when do you get times where your mind is not occupied by 20 other things that you can talk to God? And for some of us, that's time when we're doing some other things as well. That doesn't mean we're distracted. Sometimes we don't hear God's calling because we lack hope. We lack hope. And when we lack hope, we will always lack servanthood. Because when you lack hope, you will become cynical. And cynicism says, it's not worth it, it doesn't matter, I don't make any difference. I think in January we're going to have a major sermon series on hope, because I think it's one of the most important Christian virtues we can grab hold of right now. And I think if we don't have it, it's a sign of our inner life, it's not our circumstance. Sometimes we don't listen, we don't hear the calling because we have the inability to surrender our own agenda. Our own agenda, our own way of doing things, our schedule. Sometimes we don't hear the calling because we have a life that's simply not open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And frankly, can I just speak to those of you, if you're in that statistic I shared last week, if you're one of the 1 in 10 people who says, I can't stand Christmas, can I invite you? You don't have to jump on the Christmas bandwagon. You don't have to walk around saying ho, ho, ho. But can I invite you in the month of December to not allow that to become a wall that keeps you from hearing God's calling to goodness and kindness in unexpected moments where you contribute to the blessings around you? There are a lot of things that get in the way of hearing the unexpected calling. But here's the truth. Most of us long to hear it. Most of us want to know that our life is being used by God, that there's something that only we can do in a moment or in a season or for years and years. Now, this morning we see Mary, and Mary is a fantastic example of a disciple who hears the unexpected calling. I think Mary is the greatest disciple that ever lived. She was the only person who believed in Jesus before he was born. She saw his entire lifespan. She trusted and believed the whole time, and she was there at his crucifixion. She was there at the resurrection. Mary is a remarkable woman. And we can learn from her. So take a look again at what Liz just read. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you're highly favored. Hey, if you get an unexpected calling, you are what? You're highly favored, right? When the Lord taps you on the shoulder, small or large, you're it. You're the king or queen of the moment. I was in Home Depot just the other day. And I had been, you know how you do the Home Depot blitz? I'm weaving. There was no wide receiver moving faster or better than I did through the Home Depot. I was ducking and dodging and moving. And at one point, there was an elderly woman, and she was in the slow lane. And I did a roundabout. I blew past her with my stuff, and I hit the cashier before her, and I had my things. I had boxes, and she comes, and there was no cashier. I got there, and then there was no cashier. And the person's like, I'll be right back. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I just did an NFL performance to get here, and you'll be right back. And in the time it took for her to get back, this woman walked up. She had a plant. She just walked up with her plant. And you know what happened that moment? The Lord said, greetings to you. You are highly favored. You are highly favored, Tom Berlin, because you're gonna invite her to get in front of you because she's got one item and you got stuff and you just get out of the way. And I was like, but Lord. And the Lord's like, mm-mm. No. You got here in a hurry so you could hear this. When you get the unexpected calling, you are what? You are highly favored. You're highly favored. And so that's the joy of it. It's like the Lord of the universe is tapping me on the shoulder to bless this woman. And I'm not kidding. When she went through first, she stopped. And before she left, she said, thank you so much. That actually meant something to her. And I was like, I am Father Christmas. Go in peace, you know? Greetings, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. I felt like the Lord was with me. That's what the angel said to Mary. Mary was what? She was greatly troubled. Who's not? Hassle. You got to be kidding me. I got plans. I got things. I'm in a hurry. She's greatly troubled. Well, she's probably also greatly troubled because there's an angel, and that's weird. And wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. And so there is this unexpected calling. There's more to this text, I think. Yes, but the angel said to her, do not be what? Sometimes the angel looks at me and is like, and don't be so grumpy either. Do not be afraid, Mary. You found what? Favor. Friends, when you're getting tapped on the shoulder by the Almighty, you have found favor. It means God believes in you. God believes in you, that you can do this thing. The angel said to Mary, you'll conceive and give birth to a son. And you're going to call him Jesus, and he'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. Now, this is an example of God changing the arc of someone's life. And unexpected callings come in short-term, mid-term, and long-term. They're not all long-term. They're not all heavy. Sometimes it's just the Home Depot line. But this is Mary, this child, the Lord is going to give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. This is a pivotal calling. His kingdom will never end. Mary, you'll bear the Christ. And what I love about this is that, remember last week, Zechariah stated doubt. Zechariah's like, my wife's old and so am I. And Zechariah was sort of telling the angel, this isn't going to happen. But Mary does something very different. Mary just wants to know how. She's not portraying doubt. She just wants to know how's this going to happen? How will this be since I'm a virgin? And then the angel goes on to say, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and it's going to happen. I mean, what a remarkable thing. And as Kelly said, most Bible commentators think Mary could have been as young as 14 years old. In that time, there was no teenager. You went from being a child to being an adult. And that was about physiology. That was, people didn't live as long, so there was no teenage thing. You just jumped into adult life. Mary would have been a young woman. Gabriel tells her that she who was, tells her, gives her encouragement, says, hey, by the way, you know how your cousin's really old? Talk about God can do anything. You know how your cousin's an older woman? Well, she who is unable to conceive is now in her 6 months. This is Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife. For no word from God will what? Ever fail. Unlike Mary, you and I are not going to be asked to carry the Messiah. Amen. But I believe that God is still calling us in unexpected ways today. And that, I just want you to know, is going to bring meaning to your life and complication to your life. And some people think that once you accept Jesus and you start following Christ, your life gets simpler and less complicated. Has not been my experience. Not been in my experience. I think that if you choose to follow Christ, the Lord loves putting things in front of you that are hard and require you to grow. The Lord loves us, as they say, too much to leave us alone. And so I've been thinking about what would it be like if we were more like Mary? What would happen if more of us accepted, and if we heard and accepted God's calling to offer love and wonder and concern and gratitude? What would happen if more of us would speak up when the Holy Spirit prompts us? More of us would care for others when the Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder? What would happen if more of us would say yes to God in a variety of ways, day in and day out, and sometimes in the most essential seasons of our life? Then God's will would truly be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it can be a small matter. You know, recently a friend told me she was at a birthday party She's at this birthday party, and she's being asked to, you know, hey, say grace before the meal. And she just felt the Holy Spirit tap on the shoulder, and she said, okay, I'll do that. But before we say grace, we're all going to go around and say something we love about the birthday boy. And the birthday boy is like, no, you're not going to let, no, I don't want that. And she said, oh, yes, we're going to do that. We're each going to say some quality that we admire or something that this person contributes to us to celebrate his birthday. And the birthday boy's like, no. And she's like, yes. And one by one, they went around and honored him and spoke words of appreciation and words of gratitude. Did not change his life probably, but don't you think that changed the evening? Don't you think that enriched his life? And isn't it amazing to think, just think of it this way, isn't it amazing to think that maybe the Lord was whispering in her ear, he needs to hear this right now. In other words, I don't have to understand the calling or its effects. I just need to act on it. Now, that doesn't mean we do every crazy thing that comes into your head and then blame it on God. Don't get me wrong, right? Don't get me wrong. There's a difference between God's calling and Tom's latest big idea. And I usually give it about a day to figure that out, except in moments like that, when we have to just go, I think this is a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they're small and sometimes they're large, but what would happen if all of us were doing that more often? And let me say this, what would happen in the season of Advent to the joy factor in Christmas if more of us were accepting the unexpected calling and acting on it? I think that God is more present than we think. And Mary teaches us to pray, to listen, to believe, and to be open to a message from God, and then act. I mean, it's great to pray. It's great to believe. It's great to hear it. But there's this last thing you've got to do, which is what? You've got to act. And I don't know about you, but I've had these promptings that I've let go, right? I've left people in the back of the line before, trust me. And when I walk out and when I get in my car or when I wake up the next morning or when I think about it the next day, I think, you missed that one. And I can usually feel it when I've missed it. But notice what Mary said. And this is so important how she frames it. This is the most important thing is how she frames it. Say it with me. And if you're at home, I want you to read it with me out loud, right? Because it's going to do you good. You're going to remember it more this week if you say it out loud. So say it with me. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Just those five words. I'm the Lord's servant. I mean, honestly, when you've been doing the duck and run through the Home Depot line and you feel the tap, you just have to say to yourself, I'm on God's time. I'm not on my time. I don't own this day. I love what Mary says. I don't think she could have put this in a way that would be any more teachable. I am the Lord's servant. And then she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. Do you see how she's in the flow of God's grace? You see how she's in concert with the Holy Spirit? And here's what I believe. I believe you can be too. Let me give you three quick things that Mary teaches us. Maybe not so quick, midterm quick. Number one, God gives you choice and agency. God gives you choice and agency. Here's the great thing about the unexpected calling. You don't have to take it. Listen, this is a weird thing to think about. I hadn't really thought about this before this week. There could have been other women that Gabriel went to first. There was another woman whose name was Joanne. I don't know. You know, and Joanne, you were highly favored. You know, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. And Joanne was like, no, not happening. Now, God being God, I doubt that happened. Everybody just hear me say that? I didn't just rewrite the Bible there. But we have to believe it could happen because what it means is Mary had choice, and especially Methodists, we believe that we have free will and are in concert with it. So you've got choice and agency. I just realized we had Holy Communion. I got to hurry up. Number two, you can ask questions. You can ask questions. And the questions that I tend to ask myself are this: who benefits if I do this? And if the answer is me, it's probably not necessarily the prompting of the Holy Spirit. What is God's intention is a question I ask. What am I not being asked to do? Listen, I felt called to let the woman go in line. I didn't feel called to buy the plant. I didn't feel called to carry it to her car. I thought she was capable of all that. Just contain this thing. And is this a calling for a moment in time or a way that God's going to change our lives? Because it can be either. Number three, let your yes be a joyful and trusting one. Okay, here's the deal, friends. A lot of you are doing hard things. And again, part of that's this pandemic. I looked back here and saw some school teachers sitting right in the back this morning. And I said a prayer for them. Because there are a couple of folks in the back that are younger teachers. And I was like, you know what? They are in there every day. I've got a daughter who's doing it too. And here's what I want to say to teachers and pastors and anybody who's doctors and nurses and anybody who's doing a hard thing, and everybody is. Embrace it. We can either complain about it and say it's terrible and everything's always changing and I hate it. I got into a modality for a while there where I was just angry about everything until I felt the Lord say, hey, Tom, be my servant. And it changed everything for me. It gave me the ability to get up every morning and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. It's going to change today. It's going to be different today. I'm ready. Listen, the unexpected calling is going to bring complication and hardship. It's also going to bring meaning and adventure. And you got to choose which side of that thing you're going to live on. And I just think when we look back on this time, we're going to describe it as one of the most meaningful and adventurous times of our life when we did hard things. Advent and Christmas, let us listen carefully, let us pray steadily, let us enter into times in this month of December, in the season of Advent, of silence and worship that enable us to hear the still small voice of God, and let us offer ourselves to the unexpected callings. And perhaps it'll change the arc of our life, or maybe it'll be a moment in time, a kindness offered to a fellow traveler in this wonderful season, or maybe some little gift of kindness that changes somebody else's day and brings a light to the darkness of the world. Let us serve God as we accept the unexpected calling that comes during this sacred season and beyond. And in so doing, let us remember the great offering. Friends, when you accept your unexpected calling, let us remember the great sacrifice Mary made of her life. And let us remember the great sacrifice that her son made of his for you and I, which we celebrate right now, this Jesus who laid down his life for people like you and me. Oh, the joy that he loves us. Amen.